Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about good gifts, about how God is the giver of good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He gives us these beautiful and perfect gifts in our lives, and we're going to be taking communion over this because Jesus says to ask him for these good gifts. But we're going to be taking communion over this. But before we get into our time of communion, if you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we take a few minutes first to pray and then go through the other half of prayer where we examine ourselves. We take some time to listen, to plan our upcoming day with God, which leads us into our time of communion for today. But let's get started with the prayer. We're going to start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a two-minute long prayer. Mostly of scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And this is the prayer that I pray over myself and family and all those connected to me every day. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening and all their families and friends and all those connected to them and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes and help us to receive these good gifts that you have for us, these perfect and precious and beautiful gifts that you have for us, Lord. And we ask you to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So our first step as we begin to go through the other half of prayer is to get ourselves positioned in the light. First way we're going to do that is with forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness has to flow through three levels in our lives. We have to receive it from God. We have to give forgiveness to ourselves. And then that forgiveness has to flow through us to other people. Jesus says, when you stand praying, if you have somebody to forgive or reconcile with, you know, leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile with them first. And so the first step in just positioning in the light, how is that forgiveness flowing? Is there anything that you need to receive forgiveness from God for? Anything you've been beating yourself up about, putting the pressure on yourself? Maybe you haven't forgiven yourself for ways you've missed it, ways you haven't lived up to your own expectations, just lifting that pressure off of yourself. And then is there anybody that you need to reconcile with, to get righted with in a relationship? You know, when we choose to forgive, God's chosen to forgive us. When we choose to forgive, it's like we're releasing some things. We're releasing some things, and it's symbolic of us being released from the darkness, transferred into the light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And then once they're in there, once we are in there, it's about giving gratitude and thanks regularly. If you want to take some time to just track along with this, and if you want a tracker that goes along with this, if you go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com, you can find some additional training and a tool that you can use to track along with us here as we do the other half of prayer on our free tools and resources page. But what are some things that you're grateful for? Just listen out a couple things that you're grateful for over the last day, over the last 24 hours. And then I want you to look back over the last day and look back. What were your wins? What were the steps forward or the things that you got accomplished over the last 24 hours? What are your testimonies, the ways you saw God coming through or showing up in your life over the last 24 hours? These are ways. Forgiveness brings us into the light. And then we can stay focused on the light through gratitude and focusing on what's going well, focusing on all the things that are going right in our lives. Because the more we focus on the light, the more it begins to grow, the more it begins to expand in our life. But when we stay focused on darkness, we're not willing to let go. We're not willing to receive that forgiveness from God, and it's not flowing through us in those three areas. And we continually focus on complaining and grumbling and all the things that are going wrong and venting and our frustrations continually. That just keeps us stuck in the darkness. So let's get positioned in the light first. And then once we're in the light, there's peace. God has given us the gift of his peace. He's given us his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. So how were your levels of that supernatural peace over the last 24 hours? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either it's on and it's flowing or it's not, because we have to receive this gift and we have to learn to get it flowing in our lives. And I believe that that peace is our indicator that we are magnifying God as bigger than the problems in our lives. And we're not double-minded or wavering in our faith. Sometimes these issues or problems come at us and we get more focused on them. We begin to waver in our faith and begin to magnify the problem rather than magnifying God. And we begin to waver in our faith. We get that separation where our thoughts become divided. When we have that separation happening in our minds, we begin to lose that peace. So keeping our eyes fixed on God, fixed on the things above, where God has continual love and grace and nothing is impossible for him. That's where that supernatural peace comes from, that he's with you and he's for you, and that's never going to change. And then how are your levels of supernatural joy over the last 24 hours? I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence. And we just talked about yesterday on our daily communion meditation that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. He gives strength and fresh energy to the tired and to the weary. But when we get present, it leads to this joy, because in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. So presence or joy is my indicator that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence there with me in the present moment. It means I'm not dwelling on the past. We've let go of that. We've released it. I'm not worried about an uncertain future because I've got my security and my hope and my trust in God's unfailing love for me. And I can live right now in the present moment, which leads us to our next question. What are the things that you know to do today? If we're going to live in the present moment, what are the things that you know to do today? What needs to get done today? And you might start with the things that need to get done. Some administrative tasks, things around the house, things in your workplace, just things that need to get done to be good stewards of all the gifts that God has entrusted to us. And then what is stirring in your conscience? Is there anything you've been procrastinating on? Is there anything that keeps popping up in your mind like, oh, I know I need to do that. I know I need to be more present with my family. I know I need to spend less time on my phone. I know I need to eat better. I know I need to start exercising. I know I need to do this. Anything that you know to do, but you're procrastinating on it, how could you take one step, just one tiny little step, and then ask God for his help from that point on? How could you begin to take a step forward in those areas? And then is there anything bigger that God's been prompting or stirring in your life? And it might be some smaller things like, hey, reach out to this person, take this step, do this thing. Or it might be something bigger, some big purpose or charge in your life that you feel like he's stirring. How could you take one step forward in those areas of your life? And then it's about executing these things that you know to do, trusting God's with you. He's for you. You're in the light, doing them in the present moment with peace and joy and also confidence. Confidence and boldness in what God can do through you. Not that you have to figure it all out on your own, but in what he can do through you. And then what is the most important thing that you feel like God's been teaching you or training you in or showing you over the last 24 hours? What's he been talking to you about? If he's with you all day long and he's not saying anything to you, something's wrong. I like to tell my kids, he's speaking to you way more than you think he is. often we just think it's our own thoughts and these types of things. So if you were to reflect back over the last 24 hours, what were you thinking about? Was there anything that you heard that stood out? Anything that you saw that jumped off the page at you? Any recurring themes of just things you're thinking about? And then you can put them through the filter. Was it lovely? Was it just? Was it pure? Was it of good report? Was it praiseworthy? Was it submissive and open to reason with other people? Would it help make other people great? These are all filters that we can use to say, was this from God or was it just my own thoughts? Because God is trying to woo us to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. And he gives us these good gifts along the way to help us get there. But it's his voice that leads us along that path. And learning to tune into his voice daily as you go about your day, it's one of the most valuable things that you can learn to do. So today we're going to be talking about this idea of good gifts, that God gives good gifts. You know, our goal inside of the Abundant Life Blueprint is to make other people great, to magnify God, make his name great in our life, and to make other people great around us. But that only happens by God's gifts functioning in our life, by his grace flowing through us, empowering us to make that happen, because it's really hard to do, nearly impossible to do in our own strength. And it's going to require some of these good gifts to make that happen. But this started for me, just the idea of good gifts. I was reading in Genesis chapter 30 just the other day, and Leah and Rachel, Jacob's wives, they're sisters. And they've got kind of this family battle going on where Leah is unloved. Jacob loves Rachel. He worked 7 years to marry Rachel, and then he got tricked and ended up married to Leah first, and then he finally got married to Rachel later. And so now they've got this feud where he loves Rachel, but he doesn't love Leah. But Leah starts having children, and Rachel can't have any children. And Leah's naming her children things like, hey, you know, now my husband will love me because I've given him a son and things like this. And finally, Leah conceives again. It says in Genesis 30, verses 19 through 20, Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. God has presented me with a precious gift. In Hebrew, that word precious is the word taub. I think it's T-O-W-B, taub. And that means good. Most of the times in the Bible, it's translated as good. For example, God created in the times of creation where God said the light was good. This was the word taub that he used. It was good. It was a good gift. It can also be translated as precious or best or beautiful. God can give us these good, precious, beautiful, pleasing, pleasant gifts. And she said, this time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun, which means precious gift. So I'm thinking about this idea of good gifts. And then it started to remind me of some other verses in the Bible where it talks about good gifts. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And you've probably heard these verses before, but it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, this is Jesus talking to the religious leaders, I believe. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So he's saying, even evil people know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more? So people that don't even have God know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? Now notice there's a contingency here. God will give good gifts to who? To those who ask of him. So when we take communion today, we're going to be asking God. We're going to be believing we receive and asking God for these good gifts. Now notice it's plural. It's more than one gift. He's going to give us these good gifts to those who ask of him. And his gifts are different than ones we receive from people normally. He can give these beautiful and best and perfect gifts, these precious gifts in our lives. I like to say that they are beautiful solutions, is what I like to call them. A beautiful solution is one that creates a ripple effect for good across every area of life. It comes at the perfect time, and it is the perfect solution that creates a ripple effect for good across every area of your life and begins to set you free to new levels. Often the gifts that we give in our own strength, the solutions that we come up with in our own strength, they have side effects and they imprison us sometimes. People come up with solutions and it just creates side effects. One problem just leads to another problem and so forth. When God gives the gifts, when God gives the solution, it comes at the perfect time and it's the perfect, beautiful solution that sets you free and creates a ripple effect for good. It answers other problems. That one solution he gives you creates solutions for other problems as well. And that's the difference between a beautiful solution and one that we come up with ourselves, or a gift that we give ourselves. So then this is a different version of Jesus saying the same things here from Luke chapter 11. It says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." Now notice, everyone who asks receives. So if we ask, what can we expect that we're going to receive? If we will ask him, we can expect that we'll receive. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? So one of these gifts. Now notice in the other version, it said gifts. Well, how do we know which one's right? These are two different perspectives. They're both probably true. Give good gifts in the other version. This one, he says, how much will he give you the Holy Spirit? Who is this perfect, beautiful gift that creates this beautiful thing in our life of those who ask him? So one of the things that we can be asking for today, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, you see the early church, when the disciples were going around baptizing people, and they would lay hands on people, they would always ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? And they would lay hands on them and they would receive the Holy Spirit. That's something that we can ask for. So this is James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift. Now notice, good and perfect. That's that idea of that beautiful solution. Every good and perfect gift. Where does it come from? It comes from above. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So notice, these good and perfect and beautiful solutions, they come as a gift. It's something that has to be received. It's not something that we work for, number one. It's something that must be received. And where does it come from? It comes from heaven. And so it comes from simply asking and then resting and trusting that at the perfect time, God's going to open, he's going to give you this perfect gift in your life. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Precious means something that's valued greatly. His promises are a gift to us, so that through them, we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption in the world that's caused by evil desires. And so we're going to take communion here. And this communion is just going to be a very simple asking and receiving of these perfect gifts, receiving by faith these perfect gifts that God has given us, these perfect, good, precious, beautiful gifts that God has given us through his grace. And they must be received like a gift. But remember, if someone gives you a gift, you can choose not to receive it. You can say, oh no, I'm not worthy of that. You shouldn't have done that. That's too much for me. You could just choose not to receive it. You could just not want it. You could take it back to the store. You could receive it and then you could let it sit in your closet and do nothing with it. Or you can receive it and put it into practice, put it to work, receive it, value it, treasure it, treat it as precious, something that's valued greatly. That's what we have to do with these good and perfect gifts that come from above. We have to receive them, then we have to treasure them. We have to value them greatly. So every time we take communion, it's just this opportunity to meditate on God's steadfast, unfailing love for us, that he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. And if he would do that, how will he not freely give us all things? And some versions say he'll give us freely all things to enjoy. These good and pleasing and perfect and beautiful gifts are part of this. He has steadfast, unfailing love for us. It's an opportunity also to meditate on his mighty works, that nothing is impossible for him. And when you pair those two together, how much he loves you, that he is the source of goodness, that he's the source of beauty, that he's the source of every good and perfect gift. And he loves you, and nothing is impossible for him. You put those two things together, and it's extremely powerful. And then every time we take communion, it's just this opportunity to meditate on this covenant relationship that we have with God. He's made a covenant commitment to never leave us or forsake us, to do good for us all the time, to give us his steadfast love, and to do whatever he can to help us. And I believe that as we grow and we receive these perfect gifts, these good gifts, I believe it helps us know God on a higher level, on a deeper level. Gives us the opportunity to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God as we receive these gifts and we see all the goodness that he has for us. I believe it helps us grow in the knowledge of him. And Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you would know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Jesus' definition of eternal life was that we would know him, that we have a personal relationship with him. And I don't know about you, but all the people that I have very close relationships with in life, there's this exchanging of gifts from time to time where we do things for each other. I believe that this receiving of these gifts is this opportunity for us to grow in our knowledge of God and to truly understand all that he wants to do for us, to understand him and to know him on another level. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this bread. As we take this communion today, we're just asking for these good and perfect gifts that come from above. We want all the good and perfect gifts that you have for us in our lives. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, all of this was possible because of his sacrifice for us. That the cup of your wrath was poured onto his body so that we could have the cup of your blessing. We thank you that on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he told his disciples, take it, receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God, that he makes you holy, that he makes you perfect. They receive that he has these good and perfect gifts for your life, that are these beautiful solutions to the issues that we face. Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Some of the verses in the Bible talk about this being the cup of thanksgiving. Today, we're just going to be, as we take the cup, this is just gratitude. Hopefully we've received by faith these good and perfect gifts. Doesn't mean we have them or we can manifest them and see them just now, tangibly touch them and see them, but we've received them by faith. It's done. And now it's just simply about gratitude. The cup of thanksgiving, the cup of the new covenant. Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. His blood has forgiven our sins, released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light. We have this new covenant with God that we can be one with Him. We can have a life that is connected to Him, that is one with Him. And we can grow in our knowledge of Him. And His love can be flowing through us. But all of it has to be received by faith. Father, we just thank You for this cup and what it represents. In Jesus' name. So now it's simply about walking it out. And that's where I believe the trust piece comes in. We receive these by faith. But the moment we just prayed this and took communion over it, we're receiving them by faith, but we haven't had the manifestation of them yet. We haven't seen it just yet. And that's where you got to keep trusting. Wait a minute. Every time you get tempted to doubt that God hasn't given you these good and perfect gifts yet or something like that, you're tempted to doubt. You come back to this time of communion. You say, you know what? I received that. And God is on it and He never forgets. He never changes. He will never forget. At the perfect time, He's going to release these beautiful, good, perfect gifts into your life. He knows the perfect time to release them into your life. And that's where that trust piece comes in. And you can trust. He's got these things ready for you. He's got them prepared. And at the perfect time, He's going to release them to you. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.